RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Been a fun Tuesday and a therapeutic Tuesday as well here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. I'm, of course, Reginald Adetula. I say, of course, that was really bold of me. My bad. I want to walk. Can I have that one back? Are y'all going to let me have that one back? Because that was really egotistical even.
It's too late to dump, man. You're just going to have to own it.
Of course it's me, Reginald Adetula. Who else would it be?
They got your name on the with the big voice guy. We got your picture on the break slate.
You peasant. Of course. This is Reginald Adetula.
That sounded nasty. I didn't like that.
No, man. Sometimes you just got to let the people know, man.
That was one of the ones that as soon as it left my lips, I was grabbing at it. Just come back here.
Who else you thought it was over here on In the Loop, but it's the dude that hosts the show.
That is B. Scott sitting in for the OG John Lopez. Colin Neal, you also heard, filling in for one Figgy Fig. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Tuesday.
We can't say of course, by the way, Colin. I don't think it's an of course.
Of course it's B. Scott and Colin.
It's not an of course with us too, but with Reggie it is.
Man, we've been having a fun time here on this Tuesday from the 713. Do you think the Texans should sign Diggs if he passes through waivers? No.
Oh, I didn't even think. He's talking about Trayvon Diggs. I don't know, for whatever reason. I was like, what, New England's going to get rid of Stephon already?
All right, so
I didn't even consider that.
So to make it clear to anybody who maybe has not heard the two different news stories that come together here, Stephon Diggs is being alleged. He's under, well, what's the right way of saying this?
He's being charged with a felony.
Being charged with a felony for alleged strangulation, I believe,
yes.
Or suffocation. In Massachusetts. That is the allegation that's there per Boston 25 up there in Massachusetts. So that's what's happening on one side of the Diggs family. The other side of the Diggs family is Trayvon Diggs, the cornerback previously for the Cowboys, has actually been straight up released. He's been going back and forth with the organization on various different things. And at its essence, how much they want him, what they want to do with him, if they want to give him a contract. They outright released him, which, God, that organization's stupid, man. Like, I'm sorry. I feel like you get some for Trayvon Diggs, man.
Yeah, I would have just tried to figure it out, honestly. I mean, they need more help than they need to be. Like, this is already a problem with them, right? They trading Michael Parsons. They need to keep all the good players that they got and then add more, not be getting rid of the good players and starting over. But I digress.
All right, so I did all of that set up to ask a question that is neither which is not the point of the segment that we ultimately wanted to do. If you had to have one, which one?
Of the Diggs brothers?
That's right. In the current predicaments that they exist in.
Oh, come on, man.
Is it Trayvon Diggs, who is a really good cover guy from all intents and purposes, but also is not a physical guy and clearly is having some level of organizational disagreement? Or is it Stephon Diggs, who you've had in this building, he's worked very well, except right now there's a felony charge out there on him, even though at this point, allegations we have not seen to what end they go to, but that's out there on them.
Yeah, innocent until proven guilty. I don't even think he's been indicted yet. So, I hate to be crass about it because if these allegations are true, I want nothing to do with it. But at the same time, still just like the way the legal system works is they're just allegations. You can make an allegation against anybody about anything. So I think that Stephon Diggs would fill a role for the Texans if it was possible, like we're just doing this hypothetical. He would fill a role for the Texans that they simply do not need from Trayvon Diggs. I'm good with if he's depth, I get it, but I'm good with their corner situation. I think Stephon could actually help them with both their red zone infrequencies and their red zone inefficiencies. Mm-hmm. I hope I did that correct.
You did it very well.
So, in fact, yeah. So I would say the older brother.
I allowed myself to do that because I knew you were going to end up. I don't know how I knew, but I knew you were going to end up here talking about this offense. And I feel like we need to do some evaluation of the coaches here on both sides. We talked about the head coach at noon, if you want to go back and use the Odyssey app or what have you to go back and revisit it. But I want to talk about the coordinators. How are you feeling about them at this juncture? And the offense is the one that has caught a lot of attention. So I will start opposite that so that I know that we get back around to it. Does that sound like something we should do? Because I know that we want to get to the Nick Haley of this all. Or should I just start there? Am I doing too much here?
I think we could just be real quick with Matt Burke and say he's done a hell of a job. He's coordinating the best defense in the league. I think that there's got to be something to his defensive line coach background and the fact that they're able to get so much out of the, not just the stars on the edges, but some of the nondescript, not to be disrespectful, but some of the lesser names on the interior. It seems like it doesn't matter who lines up at defensive tackle. They ready to ball for the most part. And so
I was about to call a name and I was like, that's not fair to them, man.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to call somebody a name?
Yes. No, I was going to call somebody's name out as, well, he didn't do that. And I was like, that's not fair. You don't have to do that to Marlon Davidson. Wait, my
damn.
Bad.
Damn.
Can I have that one back too?
No.
Okay, my bad.
But about Matt Burke, shout out to Matt Burke and shout out to the defensive line coach, Rod Wright. I think they've done a tremendous job. So I don't think it's a coincidence that defensive play calling gets handed to Matt Burke and then they skyrocket to being the best defensive in the league. I think he definitely has to have some kind of credit in that. That's what I say about
that. And D'Amico has made it clear, and I believe him when he says that he ain't taking his hands off of what's happening there. Game planning and all that, still, he is a part of that process. And I think that that's comforting, if for no other reason than, hey, man, Matt Burke is getting all the love. Like, this is the double-edged sword. One of the things I tried to do was make sure that I mentioned Matt Burke when we talk about this, because we were very ready to say D'Amico Ryans' defense, D'Amico's defense, D'Amico Ryans' defense. And Matt Burke is the defense coordinator, and he factors in the way things happen. Now he's getting that love, and I'm like, oh, that's cool, but also don't look over here. Do not perceive him. And it's happening. People are perceiving him to the point where now he's people like the idea of possibly hiring him away as a head coach, which he has the temerity for. He has the disposition for.
Yeah.
I really like him, and I would love it for him. I would kind of miss it. But again, consolation is D'Amico Ryans ain't moved away from, you know, having impact there, and I feel like he could slide very well and quickly back into that place to where everything continues to operate.
Just as a side note, since you mentioned this temerity and disposition, easily the most fun, or I guess he's right there with Frank Ross in terms of the most fun coaches to talk to. And both of them among the most fun guys that are a part of the team to just have a conversation with. I know that's a kind of a side note to the actual evaluation of his job, but I didn't want to mention that.
Yeah, I feel like this is, if we're putting grades on it, this is A+. Like, I don't know where to start in criticizing.
I like him.
Like, I just don't have.
The guy.
If I put a negative battery in your back, could you find one? Could you find the negative thing to say about Matt Burke and the way this defense is going?
Not offhand. No, I can't. No.
That's crazy.
I like him. I think he's good.
The offensive coordinator, Nick Haley. How are you feeling about him? He is the most divisive to try and talk about in this moment because he's the first year offensive coordinator. There's clearly, as we were talking about earlier, it feels very evident that there's been a governor placed on what this team can do, or at least some boundaries, a fence placed around what is expected of this team. It's evident. Possess the football, run the football. These are mandates. In fact, I don't even think that's a bad thing from Nick Haley, who we know got his job as the passing game coordinator there with the Rams in order to help establish the run and get them modernized in the way that they ran the football there under Sean McVay.
Yeah.
So I think that those things exist. But early on, we saw the struggles, and the struggles have not completely dissipated. They found different ways to make things happen despite the struggles, in the midst of the struggles. Sean Pendergast did a great job talking about the lulls that continue to happen with this team for quarters at a time offensively, but they've still managed to make things go. What is your evaluation on Nick Haley at this point?
I think that he has improved, but we were starting from a very, very, very low place. And so this to me is probably why the criticism seems so loud, or is so loud, is because, like, the improvement, because they're still not really a good offense, and it's been so long, it feels like now since they had a good offense, that marginal improvement just does not feel good enough. It doesn't matter that we're starting from zero if we only got to 50 and we're trying to get to 100, right? Like, that just doesn't really do a whole lot for you. So, I think why I've been a little bit soft on him, or a little bit of a Nick Caley defender, because at some point I just came to accept that I don't really like the offense itself, no matter who's calling it.
Yeah.
Bring Josh McDaniels in here, who's probably the better, you know, the more accomplished play caller within this offense. And I still don't feel like I would like it all that much.
I think I would. But Josh McDaniels also, well, like.
Yeah, I would like it better. But I liked, personally, the offense that they had before.
Not the way they decided to operate it in that instance.
Exactly. So I think that's part of it. But then, yeah, I think it's also worth noting that he is not Josh McDaniels. He's in his first year doing it, and there were growing pains. I don't think there was a whole lot of patience for growing pains. It would have been one thing if he was the first-year offensive coordinator, right? But now he's replacing the offensive coordinator that you brought in to begin with, and there's just not a lot of patience for him to figure it out and room to grow. I feel like he has grown in some places. Not just him, though. I think what's helped is that some of the rookies and some of the guys that weren't as involved in the offense before are much more reliable targets. This is something we talked about over the last couple of days between the rookies getting involved. You know, Dalton Schultz has had a really good year. But to a man, from Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noel, and Woody Marks, we should probably put ahead of both of them, those guys being factors in ways that they weren't early in the season, I think has made life a lot easier on Nick Caley. But I still don't like the offense, and I still don't like how they approach, which I think this is just as much of a D'Amico thing as it is a Caley thing. But I don't always like how they approach the end of halves. And look, the offensive coordinator definitely has to take issue, or blame, I should say, for the red zone inefficiencies.
Yes.
Like, you cannot get around it. I think everybody shares some blame. But if you're in a leadership position, then, yeah, you're the offensive coordinator. The buck stops with you. So they're not good in the red zone. They're not really good overall. We did this earlier. What's the thing that they do well offensively? Possess the ball? Not turn it over?
And part of the what's the thing that they do well is the implied finish of that question is consistently.
Yeah,
there's an inconsistency that happens with this offense that I think also it's not just in the execution, because the execution is there, right? And that is still under the purview of the coordinators that are, you know, charged with this. So I will put that there. But I think even if you go outside of that, there's some inconsistency with the coordinator. I think that that's the thing that's maddening is too strong. But that's the thing that is somewhat upsetting for me personally with the Nick Caley development, because I'm with you. There's a clear development of what's happening. It's just you started at such a low place, it feels like. You'll see really, really nicely designed plays within this. The question is, like, what are the are you building upon those at times? And sometimes I there's not as much there. But two words that I wrote down to try and kind of wrap my head around how I feel about Nick Caley's purpose and intention. Is that sometimes, and intention was one of those big words, and intent.
Yeah.
You know, in the offseason, like, hey,
what are you trying to do?
We want our players to understand what we're trying to do in these instances and execute it. And I think there's some ways where that's gotten better over time. And I think that's why you've seen some of the rookies and some other people be able to impact the game more. But sometimes in the play calling, I wonder, hey, what's the purpose? What's the intention? And that's a little disconcerting at times. And sometimes I don't even know if they know it at times, or if they are holding steady to what the purpose or intention is supposed to be. And those are things that are a little disconcerting, especially as you move into the arena where we're sorting out the chaff. Like, there's not bad teams in the playoffs. These are the best teams, ostensibly the best coaches that are going to come with the best game plans. And you've got, like, we're no longer playing, you know, kiddie ball. Like, you're against the best here. And I'm very intrigued, especially of the three parties that we're talking about here. Nick Caley is very much the one that is bringing up the rear here, like how he stacks up. Not just in the way that the offense executes, but how he brings a purpose and intention to what they're doing, how he's able to not just call a play, but call a system of plays that, one, sets a defense up. And you saw that in the game plan against the Chargers early on. It's why you were able to get these deep shots. You knew that this team was, one, not going to attack you attack you with pressure, so you were going to have time to take shots, and you knew that the defense in the secondary was going to sit a little bit. They weren't going to, you know, really trust and believe in your ability to hit them deep. And you did. And that's cool. Can you do that consistently? Can you find ways outside of the opening script and outside of places where you catch a defense sleeping and create those and generate those when they see it? One of the things we were talking about in running the football, the Marshawn Lynch of it all.
Yeah.
You know I'm going to do it, and yeah. I know I'm going to do it. Yeah, they're doing the things when you don't know. Can you do the things when you know I'm going to do that? And they do that somewhat sufficiently running to salt the game away. I don't know that they do it in the larger scope of the offense, and those are things that I'm still looking at the offense coordinator about.
So I said this about the offense weeks ago, and they have since, like, won a bunch of games and have improved.
Yeah.
So it doesn't actually sound the same, but you just hit on it. My issue with the offense was that the only thing they really had going for them was the element of surprise. First down, second down. When they get the benefit of down and distance and a little bit of element of surprise, the defense doesn't necessarily have a great beat on exactly what they're going to do. They would make plays. Even, you know, this went into the Davis Mills, short era when Davis Mills started playing and they kind of begin this winning streak. They benefit from the element of surprise when it was like, hey, this is clearly a run play. This is clearly a pass play. How they handle pressure on obvious passing downs is still an issue, and I think there's a hierarchy of blame there that I think starts with Nick Caley, and he and C.J. Stroud probably share a good bit of that. Then obviously sometimes the blocking is not exactly what you want it to be, but the buck does have to stop with the offensive coordinator for that. To be this far into the season and still have pressure issues like this is not great.
Better, but leaves a little something to be desired, and it's funny because I think we found more confident or not necessarily sufficient, I guess, confidence in the offense coordinator. And I think the framing helped. When you get down and you're 3-5, and then you're just in a place where we're just trying to get to 5-5. We're just trying to get ourselves back in. The offense felt better, right? In that,
yeah,
relative to what the expectations had become at that portion of the season. Okay, we're doing a little something.
Yeah.
I think now that the expectations are back to where they had been at the beginning of the season, I look around and I go, ooh.
Yeah.
Nick Caley, show me something, big dog.
Would you agree that they are ascending? Is this an ascending offense or is it stagnant? I don't know.
I think that the offense, just off the strength of them being able to hit those big shots, because they had not done that for quite a while. In this offense, they had not done that, at least in the way that it felt like they did that on Sunday. I found that to be a new wrinkle. I think that they are starting to slow in their development, though. And it's to be expected because you're 17 weeks into this. How much more can you wring out of any? Like, how many offenses in the league would you look at and go, week 7, oh, we're finding more and more things? That's kind of an unreasonable expectation in the NFL, is it not?
That's fair. Side note, how many offenses in the AFC would you consider prolific at this point? Like, I think the Patriots have a pretty good offense. But outside of that, I think most of the truly great and elite offenses are on the NFC side. Like Indy's up there, but at the beginning of the year is doing a lot of the work there.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I'm not considering Indy.
So you're not considering Indy. I don't think the Bo Nix-led Denver Broncos are some prolific offense.
I got one and a possible.
Who you got?
The Jags is the possible. I feel good about them in recent.
That's
late.
A good offense.
So
that's a good offense.
Two.
There you go. The Jags and the Patriots. But for the most part, ain't nobody in the AFC really balling like that. So, offensively. So, yeah.
All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. Coming up next, let's do the mixtape. No Figgy, I'll handle it. And what do you think is the wildest thing that somebody, that a 911 operator has had when somebody called their line? Let's dig into that next.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, indeed. It is the mixtape here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Happy Tuesday to you. Figgy Figs still off, but salute to the man, as is John Lopez. In their seats, Colin Neal and Brandon Scott, respectively. I'm Reginald Atula holding down the mixtape. Sorry about that. Let's go ahead and have a little fun with this.
No more, of course.
And oh, look, there is a phone call happening with B. Scott. If you were listening earlier in the program, that is fun. Anyway, you can say it on air. You done said it on air already. What you doing?
I don't want to blow up his spot.
Oh, okay, very good.
But this family member has called me no less than three times.
Still looking for that car, huh?
During the show.
Still looking for that car.
It is.
I bet you want to hang out with the drive. Just avoid the phone call at this point.
Man, I haven't even ever called no girl this much. You know what I'm saying? And you know what we're looking for in that case?
I don't know what you mean at all.
Good company, good time, mm-hmm. conversation.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've never done that. Never done it. I'm so confused.
Maybe they really need this car. Like, real bad.
I think there's a lot more going on. Oh. There's a lot more at play here, it seems like. Okay. You know?
Right.
Especially if you got cocaine dreams, that means you got all kind of stuff going on.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? And uh-huh. I don't want to. My life is relatively simple. You know what I'm saying? I don't want no parts of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, don't complicate my life. Because you complicated yours.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
That's all I'm saying. But anyway.
Absolutely not complicated is the mixtape here. And this is sports adjacent, if you mind. You saw that the University of Houston Cougar football team won the Texas Bowl. You saw that up close in person at NRG Stadium over the LSU Tigers. The new coach of the LSU Tigers, Lane Kiffin, was in the building. Was he not?
Yes, he was. We got to see him a time or two. He was up there. Hey, I hate to do this for people that weren't there, but he was enjoying some of that delicious press box food as well. You know, they'd be having steak and all kind of stuff up there. Obviously, Lane Kiffin, a very rich man, but free food, free quality gourmet food is free quality gourmet food. And my man was up there chowing down.
I'm glad you brought all of those things up. Hold that notion of him being a rich man and free stuff, because we will talk about that. But real quick, I was watching this from on television instead of going out to the building. Did it look as bad as it did to me when he was wearing that brown leather jacket?
Yes.
Because you know what it made me realize? He is a football coach in that he be outside in that sun all the time. His face kind of leathery.
Yeah, his
face. And it felt like his face matched his jacket.
He looked like a football. My man, he leaned way too much into the whole bowl season thing. I get that we're here for a football game, and like we were there to celebrate it. I did the pregame show. We was all there for the football. But it wasn't Halloween. The rest of us didn't dress up like footballs or goalposts or zebras, you know, officials or nothing like that. This man came up there looking like a certified actual football. I almost said pigskin, but that would have felt, for some reason, felt racist.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't say it. I was about to say it. I was like,
it didn't feel right.
That's not what I'm going.
Listen, it did not feel right.
That's not what I'm going for at all.
Listen, this is Lane Kiffin, okay? He wants to be a center of attention.
That's fair.
Okay. I'm not going to say my true opinions on the hire. I don't think it's going to work out. But anyway.
Wow. He's a good football coach, man.
He's a very good football coach.
But it's just... the last time that the Tigers have made a polarizing hire.
Oh, you're comparing him to BK?
I'm not comparing him as in like football coach wise. I just feel like there's just something about it. There's just something about
it. The issue with Brian Kelly at LSU was not the football coaching acumen. No. He actually wasn't that bad. Like,
he just wasn't a fit.
It was justifiable to keep him, even with the records as they were. He got fired because nobody likes him.
Yeah.
Like, he just, and I say that, you laugh. He genuinely, this is not the first job nor the second job where it has been very abundantly clear. People don't like him.
No. Yeah. I mean, my introduction to him was the Cincinnati departure to Notre Dame. My introduction to this element of him, I should say, Brian Kelly, that is, was the move from Cincinnati to Notre Dame. And boy, I ain't never heard players talk about a coach like that. I'm talking about publicly with their names and faces next to it. Like, he's just not as likable of a guy. Like Lane Kiffin, I feel like people on the outside, you know, there's a massive conversation about him, and he's a polarizing figure. But for the most part, it seems like players, you know, like until it doesn't work. Like, for him, it seems like it works until it doesn't.
Well, yeah, if we're just talking about winning is the ultimate deodorant. It's a panacea. It fixes all things, right? Yeah. And if you're winning at a crazy high level, everybody will stomach it, right? As soon as that little bit of not winning come through, it ruins it. And he also had a job at LSU with Louisiana State University where the head coach is not, it's a political position.
Yeah.
There's a lot more than football that you have to contend with, which means there's more people that you need to talk to.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's more people that you need to appease. He is not an appeasing type fellow. And so after a while, they were like, man, I'm sick of your face. And you lost three games. Get out of my face.
Yeah. I mean,
I think Lane is more affable.
Yeah. You might as well, if you're the coach at LSU, you might as well be the lieutenant governor. Right.
And yeah,
you might be the senior governor.
Yeah, I'm saying. Right. And so he definitely has more of that, kind of a backhanded compliment here, but he definitely has that more politician fakeness to him as opposed to like, just don't nobody like this guy, Brian Kelly.
Absolutely.
I don't know. It's just how he exited Ole Miss, though. It was kind of strange.
Oh,
how.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
he's
a college football coach.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
We've got a lot of these.
The reaction, though.
Yes, certainly. Well, he's now the head coach at LSU, but he's also still Lane Kiffin. His family, I guess, stay in California. And apparently Lane do not do his own groceries typically. But it seems like he did this instance, it seemed like. And most grocery stores in California charge an additional fee for paper bags.
Mm.
So there was a video that was going around the internet recently in which Lane Kiffin went to the store, came back from the store without a bag, but the grocery basket. He took the grocery basket and he was looking as if it was like, hey, what's the point? Why are y'all asking me about it? They didn't have no bags cost money, so I took the basket. Fair or foul, B. Scott?
I would say fair.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
I'm not with the charging for the grocery bags and all of that. Get out of here with that. This to me is creative, fair.
Theft?
I like it. I'm going to support. He ain't really take. Did he take the grocery basket all the way to his house?
Yes.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yes. Video happens inside his abode with him carrying a black basket full of bananas and other produce and things.
So, okay. So I'll change my answer.
He took it to the house.
Foul, but also funny. Funny as hell. So foul, funny, I'll allow it. So, yeah. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, I was like, but also, while I am with you, it is foul. I do recognize where you get to that place where you did not realize you got to pay for the bags. What am I supposed to do with all this food? Where am I supposed to put it? How am I supposed to get this home?
Yeah. And did he at least ask, is the basket cheaper than the bags total?
I doubt it.
Like, can I get the basket on the low?
No, he just walked out.
I think he just walked out with the basket. I think that's all that happened.
Yeah. Don't try this at home. Don't want to advocate theft. Don't want to. But to me, funny.
Definitely.
Hilarious.
Yes. Okay. So that is.
You know what they need to have?
What is that?
Y'all know at Ross, they got them sticks at the end of the baskets where you can't take them out.
Sir, you got to say the full name. It's the Ross Dress for Less.
Ross Dress for Less. Sorry. I used to work there. So it's just Ross to me.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, they will stop you. Well, that stick will stop you.
Yes. Because they don't want you to end up with Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
Somebody said fair. Belichick, the rules, charge for the bags, no rules on the carts. Huh. Interesting. Yeah. Very good.
I was going to say, how much does this cart charge? Now, you know the cart ain't yours. You know the cart belongs to the place. So there's no confusion on, hey, can I take this cart home with me? Nobody's ever thought that. So, like,
oh, that's not true.
It's kind of, it's willfully ignorant.
I was like, I've definitely seen people take the cart home.
What I'm saying, but they were not confused on who it belonged to.
That is correct.
Were just pulling a Lane Kiffin. You know?
Just took it to house.
But funny.
I just feel like you rich enough to wear, pay for the damn bag, man.
Yeah, now if I had Lane Kiffin money.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
Like we were talking about it from our aspect where we're like, hey, man, I don't know if I want to add this extra money on this cart. And even then, it's not like we are suffering. We should be able to pay the, what is it, like 10 cents for a bag or whatever.
I can definitely afford the groceries and the bags that they go in. Yes, I can.
I was like,
so if I can, my broke ass.
The audacity.
Then definitely Lane Kiffin.
And I saw people on the video having the audacity to also be like, this is how the rich people stay rich. No, it's not.
That's not how they stay rich.
That's not
how they stay rich. They stay rich by gallivanting around the country from job to job and leaving unassuming young men back behind, you know, wherever they came from and going to their, you know, next destination. That's how this guy stays rich.
Very good.
Always having a job.
All right. Somehow it is still the mixtape here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Let's end on this one. I did tease this for two straight days. 911 operators were asked, what are the dumbest things that someone has called for? And this has been fascinating. It was as soon as I saw this, I was like, I need to know what are some of the dumb, because I can only imagine the various different instances and circumstances under which a really dumb thing has been called in. And it delivered. The very first one I saw is that the person's dad accidentally threw the little cards on the phone that you used to write down, because children, there weren't always cell phones. Sometimes you had a landline,
right?
And it didn't even have a screen to it. But it had some buttons where we're like quick dial buttons, and you had to write on a little card what the quick dial was set to. Well, the card had gotten thrown away, so he had quick dial buttons, but he didn't know what they were. Mm. So how did this man decide that he was going to figure this out? He was going to press them all and call them. You know, so that he could fill them in. So he was hitting them one after the other, seeing who had called. Oh, this Aunt Shirley, right? Aunt Shirley down, boom, boom. Then he found the one for the police, got the 911 operator, and in a moment of haste, he just hung up. Except 911 traces the call. They sent the fire department, an ambulance, two cop cars, and all he was doing was just checking the quick dial.
Bruh, you can't just say false alarm. You can't just say, hey, I got wrong number.
Right.
Whatever happened to that? I guess that doesn't happen anymore, though, really, right?
If you have to say the police department, oh, wrong number.
Wrong number. You feel stupid, but you maybe even explain yourself, hey, man, this wasn't a traditional 911 call. I was doing the quick dial thing, and I didn't know that y'all was the quick dial. So, my bad. Just kidding.
You're being too logical.
Have a great day. Scott.
You're being too logical.
But, like, I would be more afraid to just hang up on 911 than I would to just tell them I made a mistake. Because they are going to come. They're gonna assume that you're in duress and that you weren't able to say what the issue is.
Right.
And they're going to come check on you.
Right.
That's normally how it works.
And I can understand how someone...
Depending on where you live.
I can understand that how someone who had not heard the segment or had not thought about it would be like, just hang up. If you know, though, that's how you handle it, right, B. Scott?
Yeah.
Except this man kept doing, you know, his fun. And then the next one was the fire department. Did it again. They sent the fire department. They weren't very happy the second time.
It feels like he needs to, first of all, what's going on with the house phone? Like, why do we have that? Who loves him in his life? Who can just come in and say, hey, man, we don't need this no more? Like, at least not.
I imagine that this happened in the past.
Not,
I would hope so.
Yeah, I'm hoping so, too. I was going to say, if this happened recently, somebody does not love him in his life to just say, hey, man, you know, we don't need, you can keep this as a relic, but we don't need this anymore.
So
just get a smartphone, dude.
Another answer. I'll give you a couple more if you don't mind. Someone said, I don't know if you know this on smartphones, especially now. There are some settings, especially on Samsung, where you could set your power button if you tap it a few times to automatically call 911.
I've got that.
Right? Like that's smart in an emergency if you can't, you know, maybe you stuck up or something, you just quietly hit the button, get somebody to call. Had a toddler fumbling around with that phone, watching that Cocoa Melon or whatever. Whoop whoop. Here they come.
Yes. This was one of the reasons why I stopped allowing, and I don't think it was 911, but I know what it was, you know, doing social media stuff for actual media places. So I'll have access to multiple media spots, their social media on my phone. And so at some point I had to realize, look, I can't let kids play with my phone because they might accidentally tweet something from Mix 96.5 or 100.3 The Bull, or back when I was at KHOU, you know, The Chronicle, you know, like I got all of this stuff on my phone, or have at some point had it on my phone. And so that mean,
and the baby just trying to get back to Bluey.
That mean my child, your child, nobody's child can really play with my phone. I would get them a device, but it can't be mine.
All right. So here is the podium that I found of dumbest reasons that someone called 911 for. Guy called for a suspicious package on his porch. Cop came out, looked at it, asked if the guy ordered something from Amazon. Guy said yes. Cop handed him the package and said, have a good day.
He should be arrested.
It's ridiculous.
At the very least, look, I don't want to get controversial, but if Sandra Bland got arrested, that man need to be arrested, man. Like some of the people that have gone to jail over nonsense, and then this happens, this is like just to teach you a lesson. Maybe just overnight, maybe it's a hefty fine, but it shouldn't be like, here's your package, have a nice day. Like, you wasted government resources, taxpayer dollars on this right here.
But I told you that was third place on the podium, right?
Go to jail.
You ready? All right, here we go. Had a squad that got called in for a non-transport because the caller had pooped and couldn't wipe. So they sent 911 to have them wipe their butt.
Oh, no.
And finally.
No.
Someone said that their aunt was at 911 for 30 years in Florida. One night, a lady called from the McDonald's drive-thru because they were out of chicken nuggets.
Oh, I've heard about that.
And that, my friend, is the mixtape.
Now, that, I think, makes sense.
Really?
Because what the hell are we doing?
How dare you not have McNuggets?
Yes. The police, somebody needs to intervene. Police, the mayor, I don't know, somebody.
The president.
The Chamber of Commerce. I don't know.
Business Bureau.
Somebody. I don't know who it is, but somebody needs to answer for this. No nuggets? What?
There you go. That's a mixtape here in the loop on Sports Radio 610, 120 p.m. every weekday. All right, coming up next, I want to return to the question of the day, but we didn't get to the Texans aspect of it, so I definitely want to. The question of the day with Houston sports, H-Town sports, done for the calendar year. What was your favorite moment of Houston sports? Except, what was your favorite Texans moment of the calendar year 2025? 713-572-4610. We'll do that next and then hand it off to the drive.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yep, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Tuesday. Been a fun one thus far. Myself, Reginald Atitula, and B. Scott in for the OG John Lopez. Appreciation to Colin Neal for holding it down in Figgy Fig's stead. That has been a delight. Thank you, sir. Real quick, before we hand it off to the fellas of the drive for them to take over on a Tuesday, the question of the day was pursuant to the Houston sports teams pretty much being done for the calendar year 2025. We're setting things up for a 2026 that already has good aspirations, right? You got a Texans team locked in to the playoffs. You got the Rockets who are currently sitting as the fourth seed in the West. The team ahead of them is losing their star for at least a month, and they're starting to find their way back into good graces, getting some players back. Dorian Finney-Smith making his way back, or actually really his debut into the team.
Yeah.
So a lot of things looking up for 2026. But before we get there, I kind of want to reminisce, and it's Texans time. Let's focus on the Texans. Favorite memory, Texans memory of the calendar year 2025, and I would like to start the bidding with a play where you are – down bad, under the shadow of your own goalpost, C.J. Stroud running for his life, making some shake, finding Xavier Hutchinson and turning this thing around versus the Chargers early on in January of technically last season, but early on this year. That was a huge play that helped you down the Chargers, but then also helped you find enough in that offensively and find a little something off script to get going in that game.
Well, and especially at the moment, like you mentioned, so deep in your own territory, and then Xavier Hutchinson, like I to me it felt like, at least in the moment of like, hey, this could be a coming out party for an extra weapon. You know, at that point you'd already of course lost Tank Dell for the season, and you're trying to, and we went into the season thinking this as well, like who are the non Nico Collins guys that they're going to rely on? I understand that Xavier Hutchinson hasn't had like a major, huge season, but he's had some really good moments for them this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's one of the places where confidence in him really started was, and there were a couple of, I think, games even earlier in the season, but that was the moment. It happens in the playoffs. Like, now he's a playoff performer, to me, like a bona fide. That's why I never thought about him being cut when we come trying to make down or knock down the wide receiver group and list when we were going to training camp. It was like, I'm not worried about Hutch. He's going to be here. He's performed for them in the playoffs. Definitely a really cool moment. I think that's a good start. I would go to something, though, a little bit more recent. And look, it's out of two. I'm struggling between these two.
We got time.
Is it the Davis Mills scramble for the touchdown against Jacksonville to complete the comeback, the 19-point comeback against the Jacksonville Jaguars, which ultimately starts this winning streak that they're on, this eight-game winning streak they're on, and I think it might be. But another close one for me is just, and this is going to be a game or so or a performance by a group, but was it 8 sacks on Josh Allen on Thursday Night Football?
Yep.
You stole mine,
and
dude.
It's the very first one that, or is it the first one? The one where it felt like, oh, he might be out of the game.
Yeah,
was the one for me.
Yes, there you go.
Because that one, it was Will Anderson Jr. coming from behind. Because I remember he being Josh Allen had escaped, and he looked like he might run for it. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
okay, this is interesting. And then here comes Will Anderson Jr. to hit him from behind, and Josh Allen instantly looks like he's hurting.
Yes,
and I'm like, oh, okay, because for me. The idea that, oh, we got Josh Allen's number, I was like, that's a cool talking point. But logically, what makes that the case?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, we're still in that place.
Yeah.
That one, that hit there, I was like, oh, we're still here.
Yeah.
We are still in here in this place where Josh Allen, NRG Stadium, this defense, no bueno.
And funny you mentioned how they kind of routed him a little bit. It looked like he was hurt because they literally do the same thing in this game, this most recent game against the Chargers, where they shut down the first two drives of the game with first a Danielle Hunter sack, then a Will Anderson Jr. sack, which was aided by Sheldon Rankins getting there first, which was aided by the Nico Autry ear holding the guy. And lo and behold, it's Justin Herbert, who's already out there with one hand, and that other hand that's just kind of there is dangling. Now, I know he finished the game out, but they're not just a good or great defense. They are punishers. They are menacing. They are insane in a good way. So, and Colin, I'll let you have it, man. I did the Davis Mills scramble against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I'll just go ahead and take that one if you want, Colin, instead to have, you said I took it from you.
No.
You want instead to have the 8 sack performance against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, how dare you steal mine.
My bad, man. I wasn't in your head, man.
No, you're good. But, you know, you took an interesting angle with the sacks. I got to say, though, that the Bills game is big in the essence of the Texans made national prominence. They made their presence more well-known in that game because it's a Thursday night game. It's the start of a new NFL week. They made their presence known around the National Football League. It got more people talking, And they've held up that talk. They've held up their presence as we head into the final week of the regular season and heading into the postseason for the third year in a row. This defense is getting talked about, especially, and the performance they had on Thursday Night Football against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, who people had as probably their pick to go, if not win the Super Bowl. And that just, in my opinion, as well as where, you know, that in my opinion is the biggest moment, biggest game rather, if you want to, you know, be exact for the Texans this season.
Some other moments that I think are worthy of this conversation from the 8-3-2, Jalen Petrie lighting up Rashee Rice.
Ooh.
A couple weeks back.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That was a good
wearing
one.
His Guardian cap.
Yeah, that was a good one. How about Texans related, but not a Texans thing that they actually did? And I hate that I'm doing this.
No,
Ron, the show,
please.
Euclid actually walks in here.
He's good. He's
but
a
how
boy.
About Andy Reid going forward on that fourth down and basically giving them the game?
That was a moment. That was a moment.
That was a moment. It was technically a Texans moment, just not a thing that they did. And one of the greatest to ever do it just decided to not be great in that moment.
I will say,
shout out to him.
Yeah, shout out to him. You gave Ron one. I feel like this one actually also goes to Clint Sterner in some ways. Azeez Al-Shaair's interception versus Kansas City.
Oh,
because what also made it great was not just that it happened, but if you were listening to the postgame show, which you should do after every game, right here on Sports Radio 610, Azeez sat down with Sean and Clint, and him talking about what that interception meant imbued it with so much more importance. Like, at first you're like, oh man, cool interception. He's like, man, I was in here thinking that my hands didn't work. Nah, it meant something to me.
We understood that though, because he's had bricks for hands over the last couple of years.
Sure, but you know, he seems like
it was noticeable.
He seems like a dude who probably could like put it behind him. And then you listen and you hear and you're like, oh no, this actually meant something to him. Like he had been thinking and pondering on that. And with this, we welcome in the fellas of the drive to a D&M auto leasing crosstalk.
He's in the right place for that tip drill.
Yes, he is. He's had a couple of them.
Yeah, that's usually how the tip drills work.
That's right.
Got to be where you're supposed to be.
As long as it's not the Nelly one. So we got the fellas.
Nelly one, personally.
I think we all do, for
like
being
when
honest.
He had that credit card.
Man, that's the one that got me in
shout
that
out,
video.
Shout
brother.
Out to BET Uncut.
Yes.
Time. We used to be may have no idea what we're talking about.
But we used to be a proper society and have
I feel like
Uncut.
you can't say the proper society when we talk about tip drill. No, nothing was proper about
no,
that.
No, everything was proper about it. So we
Black did, Jesus, tell me what that thing smell like.
We got a different sensibility of what perfect is like.
Gotta kick it to Yeah, there were some moments on
that was a perfect
BET
society.
Uncut.
Did y'all have a favorite moment of the 2025 calendar year in H-Town sports? Because we talked about some of the non-Texans ones earlier in the show. Talked about the Fred VanVleet big game 5 and game 6 versus the Warriors. Those were huge. Talked about Reed Sheppard going off. Was it 31 versus the Warriors?
Yeah.
Earlier in this season.
It was 31. I thought they had mentioned the 25 against OKC to start. Yeah.
That one's really, really good as well.
But, of course, Ron's a college basketball guy. You know,
the Houston Duke comeback
is one of the more exciting moments.
Thinking, yeah.
Yeah. So that's got to be up there, too. Yeah,
definitely. Definitely one of those. Clint, is there anyone that come to mind for you?
Well, you know, it'd have to be football for me, baby, if we're going to put it in the most exciting.
Sure.
I think I heard B. Scott talking a little bit about it earlier, the Jacksonville second half that kind of spurred this, especially now looking at it, it's turned into an 8-game win streak, you know, and turned into a playoff appearance, another double-digit win season. So it just gets better and better as it ages, if you will. So I would probably say that one. And there's a big part of it that was so unlikely because you got your backup quarterback in there.
Yeah, man. Davis Mills was nails, at least especially in that moment.
Yeah.
So tuck it and run it.
I would have to say that. I mean, that's the equivalent of somebody, I mean, I don't know what in baseball, basketball, but a Reed Sheppard or a Jake Myers or something like that, just having some kind of moment where it's like it changes the whole dynamic of the season and you go from a bummer season to a playoff season and one of the hottest teams in football. So it's I'd have to go with that.
Would you agree that the Carlos Correa return is the one on the Astros side? Like if you
that's
were going to put one
for me,
for the
man.
Astros
that's big
on
for
the
me.
Year?
I hate that the injuries took the...
They didn't have a lot of high moments, Ron. You know, it's not a lot to choose from.
For me personally,
I just think they didn't have a lot of high moments because of the expectations.
Yeah. There was definitely some moments. Honestly, trying to think of them, one of them I thought of was just Zach Cole being real hot when he first came up to, and he's just like, you know, in a time period where you're looking for something to give you some energy for the Astros, here comes Zach Cole looking like some sort of incredible baseball player that we know he wasn't ultimately going to be, but he looked good for a stretch.
Yeah, but even that is like top moments poverty to me.
Yeah, they're like you know, I think Hunter Brown had some moments.
Well, yeah, that's fair. There. That's fair.
And Framber through that pit.
That's probably actually it.
To Salazar.
The cross up.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
That wasn't a cross up, but was indeed a cross up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you want to see if you can get some advice from these gentlemen real quick before we go?
I think you get that, man. No, man, I got to go.
You
got to
go actually handle
actually
this?
Figure it out. Figure out what to do.
I'm really intrigued.
I got a family member that keep hitting me up for money. Here's the thing. I ain't rich.
The word cocaine came up a number of times today on the program. So
we got one of those. We all send each other messages, all us cousins.
Oh, y'all got a separate group chat?
Yep. He hit us up.
How do you handle that dude in your family?
Oh, well, see, they don't even, that's the part of giving. They didn't even got our, I mean, we just tell each other. Because one of my cousins, they got to her, and they never got to her.
Ah.
They go, she goes the DM route. She ain't even got none of our phone numbers. That's a bit of an issue. You can't ask to borrow no money from me. You ain't got my phone number.
Yeah.
But
on the other side, I wish that so-and-so didn't have my phone number.
My cousin wrote through. They said, hey, have you such and such said they needed $1,000? I said, don't do it. don't do it.
First words out, don't do it.
I ain't seen her in 10 years. Don't do it.
Cocaine and hookers, my friend.
And that is how we leave you on this Tuesday.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.